Welcome to another episode of the Silly the Hooligans. It's Mitch, Brad.
Hey, Mitch.
Bird.
And look, if people can't be bothered to entertain me at the weekend, then I'm not going to entertain them.
I was
going to
say, I think at this point in time, we should get Dr. Drew or another clinical.
How much depression comes through over the MP3?
With the compression algorithm, does it?
Yeah.
I've not thought of much else since Saturday, to be honest.
Oh,
I've been pretty depressed.
I've been in a funk.
It's been miserable. It just absolutely dreadfully miserable.
Since we last spoke on the pod, we've gone to Kansas City, and
we had all the hopes in the world that things were going to change under Tim Leonard.
Well, I honestly wasn't expecting miracles from Tim.
No, I didn't expect, you know, an overnight sensation to
you
strike.
Expected to score a few more goals,
and we nearly did. But
again, it boils down to they were two must win games. We drew the first one, and we lost the second one.
Yeah. We shit the bed in the second one. Saying we lost it, when you give up two bad goals that you should have stopped.
I'm torn because we took the lead in Kansas City, which was nice.
It's fantastic.
Gave up a late goal to kind of break our hearts.
Yes.
This game, we did lose 2-0, but they did play better. I'm somewhat encouraged. If they'd have made this change midway through the season and I saw some life springing up. But right now, it doesn't matter.
No, we're done.
It just doesn't matter.
This was the last chance they had of saving the season.
Especially the San Antonio game, because San Antonio was right there in that eighth spot, and we were a couple points behind them.
They were there for the taking.
We could have leapfrogged them into that eighth spot and gotten control of our destiny. Well, they went up three more, and we're sitting back now.
If it continues the way it does, we will finish second bottom of the league. The only reason we won't is because Portland Timbers 2 and Seattle Sounders 2 have to play Vancouver a couple of times and you know, the switchbacks and stuff. I mean,
thank God for Tulsa.
This isn't great.
No, I guess technically we're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet, but does anyone have any confidence that this team is making the playoffs?
If you can't score if you can't score a goal at home Saturday night against a team that you should be competing with.
That's your competition. That's who
you're racing against.
Yeah.
And you can't even put one in?
Yeah.
No.
We've got to win 4-6. We haven't won 4 in 4 months.
We haven't won 1. We haven't won 2 in 10.
You know, so
we have 1 win in 10 games.
No.
It's a bust.
Yeah, I mean, I after Swope, I was pretty dejected. I thought, well, there went the season. In fact, Matt turned to me at the final whistle and said, that's it.
Yeah.
And rode the bus home. The next morning, I started thinking, well, you know, if we take the two off of, you know, San Antonio, you take the two off of Oklahoma.
If my hair magically grows
back.
No,
but at that point, I was thinking, you know, those four are going to be tough, but they're winnable games. Now, after we drop the first one to San Antonio, which is really the one that we had the best chance at, you know, to me.
We're not going to beat Louisville.
It's over.
We're not going to
beat Louisville. They're going to, and that's the
Louisville's
going
to come in.
You know
here,
what?
We're going to hand them that goddamn cup again.
Yeah. You know what? We might beat Louisville because by then it'll be over and the pressure will be off, and who cares? Because we did that last year.
But you've got hope that our guys are going to actually step up.
Well, and don't forget, we need to beat Louisville by 3 or more goals.
Oh, that's not happening.
To take the cup. So I mean, even if we win, it'll be another one.
It'll be one
like we did last year. Oh yeah, you won the game, but give us the cup anyway.
And again, our guys could not show that. Louisville could not show up for the first half. I don't know if we'll score 3 the way we're playing right now.
Yeah.
Like,
I had all the confidence in the world 4 or 5 months ago that we were doing okay.
Again, we were in third. We were driving along.
Even as we slid down to fourth, to fifth, to sixth, you know, I was convinced we'd stay above that line.
I totally was. There's no way with the team that Jeremy and Dale put together this year that they should not be in, outside the top four.
And let's go back to
maybe,
that, too.
Maybe we're delusional.
You know what? No. Really, maybe we are.
No, because as we talked off air before, and we'll say it again now, last year we had some serious holes in this team. There were some serious holes. You know, we had guys, and God love them, like Brian Siaselka playing a midfield, that he just wasn't USL caliber. So we brought in Chad Bond. Chad Bond is a definite upgrade off of Brian Siaselka. We're no better than we were last year. You know, Irvin Herrera is a significantly better scorer. He's got more goals than I think the entire team had last year by himself. He's a better striker than Brian Gaul was, than Mike Ambersley is.
Mm-hmm.
We upgraded the positions that we had to upgrade, and we're no better off than we were last year.
I can't argue.
And we may end up worse.
What also concerns me is some players left us that we thought were duds and have gone on to do better things. You know, Pete Kelly is probably going to be playing in the playoffs.
We didn't see much of him at all last year.
You know,
and granted, he may have made strides in the offseason to improve his situation.
Sometimes a player just doesn't fit, and I get that.
Brian Gaul is playing in front of 20,000 people at Kickers Offenbach. Yeah. I mean, that is a big club.
Yeah, but he was an enigma. I mean, he's the exception to that rule.
I liked all the moves we made in the offseason.
I did.
But now the question is, were they good enough, or are we still lacking in talent? I still believe this team has the talent to be in that playoff spot. I'm not saying we'll win the league. I'm not saying, you know, we should be third in the West. But I still think we've got enough talent where I think we just gave it away.
But here's a question, right? We all love Sam Fink, right? He's a consummate pro. He's a committed family guy, you know, good church-going, corn-fed, white American boy. But he's been in our defense as we finished 11th last year and potentially 12th this year. Is he as good as we think he is? Is Jameel Hardware, who's been in our attack when we finished 11th and 12th, as good as we think he is?
So Sam, we'll come back to in a minute because you ended with Jameel, and I want to start there.
But, I mean, we can go down the line and go Dixon, Roberts, Takada. I mean,
Hardware has had every opportunity. When Gaul failed, he had a chance to step up. When Herrera is getting double-teamed, he has a chance to step up. He hasn't done it.
He's shown moments, but he hasn't proven it.
That's the problem. And you know what? Honestly, maybe that is the problem, is that we have a lot of guys that show potential in moments, but we don't have consistency. And I'm not asking for a goal a game. I'm not asking for brilliant runs every game. I'm looking for a positive contribution every time that leads to results.
You know, there's no reason why you can't string three wins in a row in a season. Over two years.
How about two wins in a row? We can't even get two wins in a row right now.
You know, Jeremy mentioned it when we had him on the pod last about consistency is his biggest, you know, issue with this team. And maybe, you know, when we sit there and we go through the players, we all think of them at their best. You know, at his best, he's a starter. At his best, he's a starter. The number of guys that we have that play at their best all the time, shockingly low.
Oh, incredibly low.
A guy like Cochran is solid. I'll put him out there
every day.
Every day, never have a problem with him. Somebody like Hardware, who I love. I think he's got the tools, but if I'm honest with myself, he doesn't do it every time he's in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a guy that maybe I think is good enough to start in this league, but maybe I should say, but he's somebody we need to improve upon. You know, maybe there's guys that we have enough talent, but not enough.
But I'm also saying that there's players that are going to leave. Because they've got the talent, they're going to come back and burn us.
Well, sure.
They're going to go on to bigger and better things because I don't know if it's coaching or what.
Jordan Roberts, I mean, we mentioned him earlier, you know, before we started recording. He's that perfect kind of guy. He's not finding a role in this team as a starter. You know, he's starting, and I think it's more or less because we're out of ideas and options and we need more attack in there. But he's the kind of guy that he could go somewhere else, put it all together, and come back and burn us.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a gamble you have to take. You know, if we can, you know, improve there, I'm okay with that. And I wish the best for a guy like Jordan Roberts.
But it leads me to think that the philosophy has been wrong here in the fact that every year for the past 2 years, by about month three, once the philosophy of the team has been instructed into these guys, they go on a slide.
Yeah.
And you got guys that came in this year who hadn't been coached by us before, and they came in and looked great. I mean, the first 6 weeks of the season, we were flying.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the philosophy of the of whatever we were doing got in their heads, it didn't work.
And it goes back to what we...
And that happened last year.
We've talked about, too, that mentality of pass it backwards, the mentality of maintain possession even when we're not doing anything. That may be what they've been taught. Maybe that's what they've been told.
And, you know, we mentioned Chad Bond, the fact that he had 8 assists last year and has only had 2 assists this year, is the fact that maybe Dave Irving last year told him, no matter what you do, turn and got a goal.
Right.
You know, whereas this, and that was the difference between last year and this year. I mean,
pass it backwards, pass it sideways.
It could be something as simple as that. I don't know, but I think there's something fundamentally wrong in the way we are set up to play.
And that may hurt those guys that we were mentioning earlier, like Hardware, like Dixon.
Yeah.
Who you know, their careers are built on going forward, and now they're told to go sideways.
And then the other part of it is, you know, this was on Mitch's Facebook wall. We were having a little discussion, and I said at a certain point, I wonder if it is that we all know teams in whatever league and whatever sport, they just develop a culture of losing where they don't expect to win, where for whatever reason, something's always going to happen and they're not going to win the game. You know, they're going to hit the crossbar at the, you know, pivotal moment, or they're going to get called for offsides or whatever. And they just sort of buy into that, you know.
Oh, well.
And
shit happens.
There are teams like that.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, baseball, Sunderland. Football, whatever it is. Yeah. And so.
St. Louis Blues.
For God's sakes, I don't want to become that team where when people sign for St. Louis, they just know it's one of those teams.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's the other problem, too, is that what's our offseason going to look like? Who's going to want to come here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're and I think that's the other thing, too, is that the way this team has shit the bed, that they're making Jeremy's job much harder.
It's got to be addressed with the coaching change. It's whoever that person comes in has to sweep clean, has to start it over, basically.
Yeah, it's got to the point where you're like, you blow this up and start again.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously there are pieces worth salvaging.
Absolutely. And again, I still think our back four, when they're playing well, is one of the best in the league. I think the problem is that they just haven't been playing well.
I'll say our center, too. I don't even know about the outside.
Part of it is that in my mind, Duty is part of that back four, and I know that's not accurate.
Parker, when healthy, I think Parker earned a spot.
I think Richards struggled as of late, and that's concerning.
I know he's a talented player, but yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of guys like that I think are better than they're showing, and I don't know why.
I think that it's also a fact that we want them to be better than they are.
It could be.
Familiarity breeds familiarity.
Yeah. But I also think that, I mean, you see, you know, we watch this team more than we watch any other team, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you're seeing the potentials, the opportunities, I don't want to say glimmers of hope, because it's more than a glimmer of hope. It's, I see what he can do. I know he can do it. I've seen him do it before. Why is he not doing it now?
Well, and I will also say, when we were higher up in the league, I mean, you mentioned it, we've had one win in 10 games. Think about that, 10 games. If I'd have told you at the beginning of that 10-game stretch, hey, we're only going to get one win.
If you'd have said to me after the Portland Timbers 2 game,
yeah,
that we'd only win one more until the end of August,
yeah,
I'd have been horrified.
Yeah.
If you'd have said to me, as I drove away from Tulsa when we beat them 5-2, that would be the last away game until the beginning of September.
Yeah.
I'd have been horrified.
Yeah.
But
it's the God's honest truth.
Been abysmal.
The table does not lie, as they say.
You know, so that leads me to think that, you know, these players aren't what we think they are. You know, if we finished 11th, I think, in the East last year, and we're going to finish 12th this year, unless you know, we get on a streak or something. Yeah. But I don't see. I just don't see
it's
it.
It's not going to happen.
And I said this to Jeremy.
The only kind of streaks this team goes on are losing streaks.
I said this to Jeremy at ITAP when he was with us on the podcast. And I said, what do you say to those people who have zero confidence that this is going to work out? Because at the time, I didn't. And I appreciate what he was saying was like, look, we've got it all to play for. We're playing these teams and we're in the mix with them. And I was really pessimistic on Saturday because I'd seen San Antonio. They'd won the last two, and we'd...
That's the thing. These teams that we're talking about... That
they're winning.
They've had their must-win games, and they're winning them.
Well, and I don't know how else to say this. I just... There's no confidence in this team for these guys to pick themselves up and do it.
Well, and I talk about bounce back, but there's nothing to bounce back from.
No.
We haven't had a positive result that these guys can hang their hats on. I mean, the Colorado game was great, but again, you go back before that, there weren't a lot of glory in the month before that either.
Absolutely.
So
there hasn't been a consistent, strong just effort. I don't want to say effort, but results. I mean, you're getting no... There's been no, like you said, you know, 6 weeks in, it starts to decline.
I don't think San Antonio played well on Saturday.
No, honest to God, they were awful in the first half.
Keeper played well. I'll give their keeper a shout.
Yeah, he did. But
they eked out a result.
Yeah.
They eked out.
But that's what you have to do.
Absolutely.
They needed a win. They knew it was a must-win game for them.
They ground it out.
They came in, they had a game plan, they stuck to it. And, yeah, they might have gotten a little lucky, but they worked for their luck.
Now, to be fair, okay, the first goal, Chad accidentally deflects. The problem is that the guy that takes the shot beat a man to get to.
But
Chad.
You know what they looked at our previous games and said, look, the goalie Thompson comes off his line. You get a chance, chip him.
Thompson definitely at fault for goal number two. And goal number one too. I mean, a deflection's going to happen, but Thompson.
It was playable.
Thompson isn't, you know,
he's not covering himself in glory right now, is he? I mean,
and we'll talk about it. He did get a call up for the Jamaican national team, but. Honest to God, my thought is good. Pace back in there because Pace may not be the physical specimen that Thompson is. He may not be the most natural, gifted shot stopper that Thompson is, but Pace plays smart.
I was very concerned. I went back and watched the FC Cincinnati game, and we lost 2-1 in that game. And the first goal that Ryan let in was in his near post, and the second goal he let in was a fumble.
Mm.
And I'm like, ooh. And that's when I really started to think, this isn't great.
I mean, I hate to say it. I think this is just, he's had such a crazy season between the national call-up, the child being born.
He's bounced around.
It's taken a toll, but the problem is that we can't afford for that. If he's struggling, we have to get him
out of
there.
At this point, we need to be playing fundamental soccer. Yeah. We can't afford to gamble.
And
you can gamble if you're scoring three goals a game.
I'll tell you this, and it goes back to what we were talking about, you know, earlier today, is that after the Sacramento game, he looked shell-shocked. He was distraught. And after a loss, I want to see my players distraught, you know.
Now, and that's the other thing, too, and you know, I'm sure this is catching heat from certain people, but there was a lot of guys laughing like there wasn't a care in the world after that game.
There were some guys that were visibly
distraught.
Upset.
And you know what?
And that's...
And then there were other guys that were putting on a smile for the kids.
Right.
I will never fault that. That's a professionalism
they can't
have to
be,
do.
Right.
No, no, they've
got
to sign the autographs, and they've got to...
And I've got that, no problem.
But there were a couple guys
when I see two guys walking to us that were laughing...
Fuck.
Yeah, and if there's two guys walking towards us that are laughing...
They got their paycheck. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, plain and simple, go fuck yourself.
You know, because if Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez were walking off the Emirates field after being pumped 4-3 in the home opener against Liverpool, laughing and joking, Arseblog and a whole of Twitter would erupt.
They would have crucified
them. And that's how a real football fan reacts to when he sees that with his team, and this is no different.
Yeah, and the people that are upset that, you know, how upset some of us are, that's what you get.
Yeah.
If you
want us to buy in, this is us buying in.
I'm not here just to give you money every week.
Yeah.
I'm a fan, I want this team to win.
I give a shit.
And the ownership
I really
told
do
us,
give a
the
shit.
Ownership told us at the town hall, flat out, this is a football club, mm-hmm. and we are going to run it like a football club. This has nothing to do with the youth. You know, it's separate from the youth team. This is a professional football club, and that's the way we're going to run it. If that's the way you're going to run it, then you have to take us being pissed at these guys dicking around just as much.
Yeah.
It is part of the package, and it's unacceptable. Like, again, I'm glad I didn't see it. I'm glad I had other people see it, because I probably would have been thrown out. I mean, it's completely unacceptable behavior.
I mean, when we were in Colorado Springs, a couple of the guys after the game just disappeared in the change room. And we were a little miffed that they didn't come over and shake hands and thanks for traveling, blah, blah, blah. But I'd rather
my, oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather my players be upset and get in a way.
And you'll notice, I know it's part of their deal. They're supposed to sign autographs and say hi to the kids and everything. Some of them walked right off the field. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's part of their job, but they're also, some of them were pissed. Some of them knew exactly that how big that game was, and I got the feeling some of them maybe didn't know or didn't care.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, if somebody walks off because they're so pissed off that they can't face us or the regular other fans, you know what? Fine.
I want them to be distraught.
I want you to be so pissed off that you can't face us. I want you to, you know, I want that, because that means it means as much to you as it does me. And I'm getting nothing from this. I get a T-shirt when we sell T-shirts. That's what I get out of this. I don't get a paycheck. I don't get anything else. This is out of pure passion. And to see anything but an equal response, fuck off. Assholes. Sick of this shit.
But again, that was a few players, and... Yes. Those are the kind of players that I hope they're taking note of and saying, okay, when it's time to renew contracts, you know, you didn't give a shit. Because that's the other thing. I mean, we've said this before, too. Fuck me. Play for your job. I mean...
Contracts are coming to an end.
Exactly. So...
And that's the other thing. Some of these guys are on two-year deals, and it ends after this season. You know, let's say... Like
USL, isn't open. We asked Jeremy about that. They're not going to disclose who's up for contract and who's not. But, I mean, we understand... the world of this league, a lot of them are on two-year contracts, and a lot of them, this is their second year.
So let's just say somebody like James Musa, there's a good chance somebody's going to come along and make an offer to him, and there's a chance of him.
James Musa is not one of the people that we were talking about.
No,
James
not
Musa
at all.
Was pissed. James Musa always wants to win.
And is he going to sit here and say, well, I can go play in...
He's going to get offers.
Oh, absolutely is.
I can go play in the NASL, make a little bit better money, and win, or I can stay here.
Yeah.
For this shit show.
And I think, again, this is where that coaching hire is going to make or break this team. You got to get somebody in who not only can change the culture, but can convince players that he's changing the culture, can convince players that, you know, he's building a winner and they want to be a part of it. So,
And I think there are enough players here that should stay and be a part of that.
I still think there's players here. I think St. Louis is an attractive enough destination to come play soccer. I mean, there's players in this league right now that are training in public parks.
Yeah.
They're getting changed in single-wise.
Play to 100 fans.
Yeah, I still think we're an attractive proposition. But you know what? On the face of it, Sunderland is an attractive proposition to go play football in.
It becomes an all things being equal. You know, we talk about going to North London. You know, maybe that's not a great example because Arsenal doesn't win anymore. But, you know,
in fourth.
If your choice is between Tottenham 5 years ago and Arsenal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, okay, we'll take Arsenal because they're winning. If you're coming down to the choices Louisville or St. Louis, Louisville's a winner.
Yeah.
And they're spending the money, and they're
similar metropolitan area, similar
and they get good
weather.
Fans. They, you know, they have a nice field. I mean, all right. Make the baseball jokes, but I mean, you know what I mean? They have a nice facility.
They've got 7,000 fans coming out every game. You know,
Oklahoma City Energy.
I think that's a more comparable.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, they're
Midwest city,
smaller market than us, but still,
get 3,000-5,000 people to their games,
and they've made the playoffs every single year. I think, you know,
they
put on a winner every. You know, would you take Jimmy Nielsen tomorrow?
Fuck yes, I would.
Absolutely,
in a heartbeat.
And here's the thing:
I'll go down and help him move with my bad back.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely, and plus, here's the thing, guys. And you all know my position on this, but there's a potential to be the next Adrian Heath.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But that, and so that's the next part too, is that, you know, if we can't, you know, if we can't put something together here that means something,
the coaches have to be lining up to get here. You'd have to think.
You'd have to, but I can't think that this is also helping that either. I mean, again, somebody might sit there and scratch their head and say, well, how much of this shit show am I going to inherit? I mean, that's got to be a question. You know, you can't polish a turd that much.
But I also think that in St. Louis, with the resources you've got, the facilities you've got, you can be king here.
Oh, absolutely.
If you make a win here, you can be king.
If he makes a winner,
Daryl Duran was king, and he lost for two seasons straight.
No, absolutely. That's a great example. It doesn't matter. It's results. That's all it comes down to. It's results.
It's results.
The Cardinals are on top of St. Louis because they win every so often. The Blues don't.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams won once, and then they didn't, and they stopped drawing towards the end. You know, that sports are results driven, and we have no results to show.
All right, let's get through some of these news items, and then when we get to the questions, there'll be more time for us to elaborate on all these issues.
And we are
more.
Answering all the questions.
We are asking,
I am frothing at the mouth.
The fun questions, too.
All the questions. First of all, we mentioned international call-ups. Not only Ryan Thompson got a call-up with Jamaica, but Urban Herrera is going up for El Salvador. Good for him.
Well deserved.
He's playing Mexico, so go beat Mexico, yeah. Urban. Score against them.
Bad news is we'll be without our goal scorer for two games. But
well, right now we're not scoring goals with them, so nothing against Irv.
Also, no. there was an article on the USL site that Musa may be called in for New Zealand. I don't know if New Zealand officially called their team yet.
No, because the games are later. The game is in October, but you'd have to think they're going to get the guy that can fly southwest rather than a 18-hour flight.
Yeah, I have no idea, but that's just something to look out for. There is a foot golf tournament coming up September 18th. This is part of the All Fleur One, the new charity arm of St. Louis FC. It's $195 for a foursome. I think this is going to be at Forest Park, I think.
I forget where.
And included in your team, they're going to be sprinkling St. Louis FC players throughout the teams to help you out, but they won't be doing drives. So protecting those legs, yeah. They can help you in the approach game.
The short game.
Yeah, they don't want these guys rearing back and giving it their all and, you know, pulling a hamstring in a charity full foot golf game. But there's more information on that at stlouisfc.com. And
June 28th at Eagle Springs Golf Course.
There you go. Season ticket renewals. Now that you're all so happy and pumped about this team and want to renew your tickets, it still is a great deal.
It is.
It's $160 for sections 8 and 9. We're losing a section.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay. Section 8 has always been our section, and we sold that out this year. So section 9 and 10 were our overflow. And usually what we told people is section 9, if you couldn't get an 8 because it was full, and by section 10, if you're curious, if you want to know what's going on, maybe you have kids, you don't want them right in the middle of it. Now they're making section 10 reserve seating only, so it's going to be more expensive. So section 8 and 9 is all we've got, so buy them quick because I think both will sell out.
And this is something, obviously, it's not up to us, but I feel that's kind of a mistake.
There's no room for growth. There's no room for anybody to come over and check it out.
You're either in or you're out. There's no easing your way into it.
If we sell season tickets and we sell out both sections, then
where do you go?
You can't even come over and visit.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to come over and visit. They're going to stand down in that area down near the craft beer corner.
Yeah.
And that's going to become a problem.
I think they should have given us section 8, 9, and 10 and then thrown the extra reserve section onto the other side.
I agree completely.
If it becomes a problem, it's because we're winning.
That's true, too.
But there have been times this season, a couple of sold-out games where people come over to Section 8 anyway that don't have tickets, and when it's sold out, you can't move in there. So people do spread out to that bottom section, and you know they're going to have to be more secure there. They're going to have to check tickets to make sure you've got a ticket in that section. And
I think crowd management needs to be improved. kids standing in the aisles, running up and down, yeah. especially down at the bottom around the drummers. Crowd management needs to be improved.
Yeah.
It does at this point. It's if you're
especially if they're taking a section away from us.
Right. No, exactly. But no, exactly. I mean, I think, and that's not a slight on the stewards at the Keystone guys, because I think they've allowed us to get away and yeah. try and make things work. And it's been a lot of trial and error, but
we can't just have if we're limited to two sections, we can't have people just coming over and squeezing in. Their ticket says 14, but they want to sit. They want to be in the action.
Correct.
You know.
But we've always said that.
Yeah.
Buy your ticket. Get I renewed the first day they came out because. I love it.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. I think 8 and 9 will sell out. 8 sold out this year, and half of 9 sold out. I think so. I think it's going to happen. Get on that ticket. Call Darian.
It becomes an issue when we're winning.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it becoming an issue at this point.
Next thing was we've got new shirts and hats. If you pre-ordered a shirt or a hat, pick it up at the tailgate on Wednesday. If not, we have maybe a few extra hats. I'm not sure, but we do have extra new shirts. So
I do love the gray hats. Got to be honest. I mean, I got a big stupid moon head, so I had trouble finding the last hats that would fit. But. Yeah. Really love
Jupiter, as Matt Brown calls it.
Yeah. Really do love the gray hats.
So if you pre-ordered, pick it up. And if not, we have, like I said, we have shirts, extra shirts for sale. We might have a few hats, but I'm not promising anyone anything.
I promise you get what you paid for.
Yeah. Let's talk about this one that came up while we were away. USL suspension of OC Blues Richard Chaplow. This was the guy that apparently, allegedly, let's say, taunted Robbie Rogers for LA Galaxy 2, for 15 minutes using homophobic slurs. He denies it.
For 15 minutes.
He denies it.
Well, of course he does.
Other players on OC Blues have kind of said that they went up to Robbie Rogers after the game and apologized for their teammates' conduct.
If other players go up and apologize,
right.
You did it.
Nothing happened to him that night. That I know of. I don't think he got a card that night for his actions, but USL went back and retroactively suspended him because Robbie Rogers came out and basically said, this is what happened. Guy called me queer. Guy called me, faggot. I mean, throughout the 15 minutes, trying to get into his head, I don't know that there was much hate in it, but still, you can't use those words, especially to an openly gay player. USL suspended him for 2 games. Was it enough?
No, absolutely not.
There has to be a caveat here because you mentioned precedent.
Yeah.
That there should have been something at the bottom of the statement that said this: we will take these as a case by case basis. This is,
right.
This is
that can't be the going rate for homophobia.
Exactly. Chaplow came out and said that they've not proved I ever said any of this. Yeah. So
you mentioned there was another suspension having to do with racist language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was that one? 5 games or
it
4 games?
It was 4 games for John Terry.
Yeah.
When he was mouthed on the TV.
Right. And we could read it.
We could read his lips. Yeah. And then there was the everything, which was 8 games. But I also think the everything was because it was after the bite. Yeah. And that was a cumulative.
Yeah, well,
that was a Hope Solo cumulative thing.
So, I think it's at least on par with racism.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of the same thing.
It is. It's
making
hate speech.
Fun of somebody. Yeah, hate speech.
It's hate speech.
So I don't think 2 games was enough.
I think 4 games is a fair rate. I think, number one, again, he can't say I didn't do it when he had other players.
Can I be totally honest there? If it was Mitch Lurie, a nobody left back from a 12th place team, he'd have got 8 games.
I think so.
Because it was a name player that
they dialed it back a little bit.
I honestly God think that.
I agree. I agree completely.
But also, though, at the same time, Robbie Rogers is the fucking poster boy. I mean,
yes,
he is. He was the first openly gay player. I'm kind of surprised they didn't throw the book at him because they wanted to prove that they're taking this seriously. And Robbie Rogers is more of a star than, Richard Chaplow.
Absolutely, but again, it will get to a point where if they find him 4 weeks...
There was a fine, too. We don't know what the fine
was. Let's say they find him 4 weeks' wages and eight games.
Yeah.
Chapo's going to go to his lawyer and say they have to prove this.
Well, that's true.
I think they've made it big enough where they made a statement, but small enough where he's not going to turn around and sue them.
So then the second part of my thought process comes in is that, this is the reports, so I can't say with any certainty, 15 minutes basically of this behavior out there on the field, other players come up and apologize. Where the hell is the referee? I mean,
Rodgers said he didn't say anything at the time, first of all, because he was like shocked that this was going on. And second of all, he didn't want to let it get to him. He wanted to power through it.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah. And credit to him for doing so.
Do all the things that we tell, you know, players to do. Don't let it affect you. You know, be the bigger man out there.
But this is where an official has to take control of the situation. You know, at that point in time,
should have been a red card for foul and abusive language.
Yes, absolutely.
End of conversation.
Absolutely.
If he'd have heard it, that's
even. Yeah. You know what? I'll even say even.
But we all know players do this shit very slyly. Sure. He could have had his elbow in his side, you know, grabbing him up on kicks and whispering, you know, sweet nothings into his ear. Yeah. I mean, we've all seen players do that, you know. NFL, when there's a pile and at the bottom of the pile, things said on the bottom of that pile that you know you wouldn't want your mother to hear. Yeah. But so it depends. Well, I don't know.
If it was loud enough for his other players to hear,
we don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
And so that's the other thing too is that you know if Robbie's down there full time, do his teammates stand up for him?
Yeah,
you know, because that's
he was down from the mothership. So
on loan for rehab or whatever it was. You know, if somebody calls one of our players that's been there all year long, I expect Musa to go over and jump on the dude. You know, I don't know. It's an ugly situation. Two games is too little, and fuck it.
All right. Here's another one that, you know, nobody wants to talk about, but we will. Some more news came out this week. I don't know that it was news. It was a little blurb in the St. Louis Business Journal, basically identifying the site that you had posted earlier, Matt, on the sort of the west side of Union Station. It's not where those drawings were before. It's not a part of Union Station. It's to the west of it.
There's a couple of on-off ramps to 6440 there.
That may be the spot where they've identified that this group is interested in putting an MLS stadium.
I think they're going to argue that that the on-off ramps aren't used a lot and they just want to eliminate them. But I'm telling you, that's going to cost a lot. To eliminate federally funded on and off ramps, that's going to take some coin.
Yeah, and that's the stuff that I don't know about. I mean, in this article, there was a drawing sort of mapping out where the boundaries of the project are. And, you know, if they do that, I don't know if there'll be room to put in some more parking and things like that. I mean, again, we're very early stages. Mm-hmm. This is an area of land they've identified that they probably are going to put on a ballot at some point. It's probably too late for November, so we're probably looking at March. We know there'll have to be some public money involved. I mean, that's just the way these things go. So
MLS likes that.
It's a first step. Again, sort of the article was sort of the culmination of a couple other rumors we had heard. So it all fits with that location, I think.
I have nothing wrong with the location. It's in quite a nice little area of town. It ties into the whole Chevitt, Scottrade, Bush lineage of stadia down there.
Yeah, it's all down that Market road. Street. Yeah, Market Street.
We just have to be grateful, you know, it's there and not in Maryland Heights. Or, you know.
Or City or St. Charles or.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Montgomery County.
I think that would fit MLS's goal criteria. Of having a downtown stadium.
And there's a Metrolink stop right there, too.
Metrolink stop there. Yep. Union Station is right there.
You have hotels nearby for incoming fans.
Right. It's not that far away from the other venues. So it could, there is some parking there. I'd like more. I'd always like more parking.
It could be worse, though. That location could be a lot worse.
And honestly, it's probably better than the site that they were talking about north with the Rams,
north of the Arch,
because that's a blighted area that you'd have to do a lot of rehab to.
So there's that. There's more evidence leading that way. Again, nothing has come out. We still we've all got private bets on who the money man is. We've heard a few names, but we haven't heard anything confirmed.
Fred.
It's not Fred. Fred is not digging in his couch cushions looking for $200 million.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah, Fred may throw in a couple grand, but not $200 million. Again, there have been more things come out that St. Louis is not in that $200 million. That, they're talking about people that haven't even approached the league yet. Those are the teams that are going to be paying the $200 million. So evident, from what it sounds like, we got in before some sort of deadline, and we're in the $150 million range. Yeah, I mean, this, oh, it's a bargain, Matt.
It's still crazy coin, man.
Well, sure, it is.
You know,
but this is the price to play at that level. So, again, no news, but that's where we are. That could be the area of our new stadium if and when we get.
I'll be 45 years of age. You and I'll be 8.
I'll be 50, dude.
I'll be taking him to the sit in the sidelines.
Yep. We've got two remaining home games. Need you to be at both of them. We'll talk more later. Jason Plumhoff was our new signing.
So he played all right.
Played pretty good. He had one day of practice, and he was right in there and, you know, making contributions. So I think we can all say he'll probably be better. Well, maybe no. From our discussion today, the less time he spends practicing with this team, the better.
Going to fall off a cliff in about four weeks' time.
Jason, just go back to your hotel room and don't come back till Sunday.
Train on your own.
Yeah.
Go run laps.
I mean, but no, he did look good out there. And
definitely.
I think something different.
Yeah.
Just something different.
He's explosive, too. That's the other part. That was the other thing that I really noticed, that he's explosive.
And this is somebody that they had their eye on. They had, you know, kind of identified him in the off season. Didn't work out, but glad to have him with us now. So a couple more things, and then we'll get to questions. Wednesday night, full kit Wanker Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing it.
I'm on it, man. I'm on it.
You know, sometimes it's not so easy to have fun at the park these days.
I'm gonna say extra votes if you're wearing a fanny pack, because soccer shorts don't have pockets.
Yep.
So I want the fanny pack look too.
Find a fanny pack.
If you don't know what we're talking about, full kit wanker is the strange and curious phenomenon of
grown ass man
or women. I mean, we all enjoy wearing a jersey to the game.
Yeah.
I'm a jersey whore. I love jerseys.
They take it a little bit further.
Combine that with shorts and socks, and preferably all official, like the official shorts. I'm not going that far. I've just got a pair of basketball shorts that I'm wearing. But if you got the official shorts and socks, pull them up high. Trainers, you know, if you have cleats or boots.
Shin guards, goalie gloves.
Shin guards.
Peter Cech hat.
Captain's armband.
Oh, Captain Armband. You know, good one, man.
Oh, I do have the captain's armband.
Whatever you need to do to take it to the next level.
Color too.
And we're going to have a contest. Come by the merch table at the Lilligan tailgate party.
There was a picture of a Liverpool fan on the full kit wankers thing, and he's wearing the shirt, the shorts, the socks, and he's at a bus stop, but he's wearing dress shoes.
That's
my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
I saw that one too.
He's my favorite.
I'm wearing indoor soccer shoes, so I'm making it look right.
Come to the tailgate merch table. We're going to take some pictures, and we're going to do some informal voting. And for the biggest wanker, Mitch, I think you got a prize.
We're going to give out a $25 gift certificate to the team shop there. We're going to take some money out of the funds and make it worthwhile. So I'd say this is something worth it. You could put it towards being an official all full kit wanker for next year in the STLFC outfit.
That's right. So we're posting some pictures leading up to it, but on Wednesday night after work, change into your full kit, stop at the gas station and go in and buy your beer just so you have to walk inside the store in full kit wanker, because that's where it's the best.
At the
games, it's one thing, but when you see pictures like doing their grocery shopping.
When they're schnooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I love the full kit wanker pictures. So
I don't think I have shin guards.
Wank it up. Yeah. Do what you have to do, but come out fully kitted up, and we're going to give away a prize.
Are you going to wear your knee pads?
Oh, I should wear like one of those big, you know, knee braces for the old men.
Might come in a training kit with a heart rate monitor on.
There you go. There you go.
Well, you got to switch during game time.
And we do know we have a couple people that are refs in their spare time. They're coming in their full ref kits. So that's also good for full kit wanker.
That counts.
And the other thing about Wednesday's game is it's a food truck Wednesday. Team hasn't had food trucks this year. It actually doesn't really pay off for the food trucks to come there and get all set up, but they're going to do it. We will be posting a list of those food trucks when we have it. They're going to set up over there in the fan zone, kind of by the bubble truck. But you'll be able to go in, get some food, and come back out to the tailgate. They're going to let us go in and out to get our food, hang out at the tailgate, and have a party before the game. So you don't have to worry about cooking. Bring some bucks and go to the food truck.
I'm excited.
And we'll post a list of those trucks. So that's all we have for news. Now it's time to get into questions and to really get to the bottom of some of the issues that are plaguing our fans. Some of them are real, but as you will see, a lot of them have sort of checked out on the season and they've given us some funny questions.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Mike Tully. What beer tastes good after being diluted with tears? So this is a man who's been to the games. He's drinking his beer. He's enjoying himself, but
I would say a sour.
You know, which Bird's gonna go with a sour.
I'm gonna go with something a little darker, like a stout, or you know, something coffee. Ooh, you know what? I'm going with a coffee stout.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna go the other way. I'm gonna say Elfler One, not because I'm a shill, but because at least
but you are.
But I am. But at least some of that money goes to a good cause. So if you're gonna cry in your beer, at least know that beer, 25 cents of that beer is going to help a kid that's less fortunate than you.
There you go.
Okay. So, that's fine.
All right. Ryan Brockensmith Schmidt wants to know who replaces Herrera while he's away on international duty up top.
Vince Cicirelli.
Got to be. I think that's the only.
You know, they had a stat on that San Antonio podcast I was on. They had a stat about Vince that he scored like 5 goals in 16, 17 shots.
Yeah.
He's probably got one of the best shots
in
the goal.
And I know he missed 3 that were sitting 2 feet from the goal. So imagine how good it could be.
That is true.
But we have to talk about Vince. For that 10 minutes after he scored at Sporting KC.
Oh, he was a hero.
That was probably one of my best favorites 10 minutes.
That was a big man crush right there.
Yeah.
I was in love with Vince Cicirelli.
I do like the fact that agent Tommy Meyer, the St. Louis boy, gave a soft back pass. I like that. Yeah. Keep that up, Tommy.
Yeah.
Anthony Flores wants to know.
I just want to say, Sporting KC fans, I fucking hate you.
Not the Sporting KC fans, but the Smoke Park Rangers fans.
Birds of a feather flock together.
No, because they've all disowned the zoo. So anyway,
all right. Anthony Flores wants to know, what are the next steps? What do we have to do to get better? I think it all comes down to that coaching hire.
That's
it.
That sets the tone for everything that happens next year.
And
that'll set the tone for any people we can bring in.
Who stays, who goes.
Right. He'll come in and evaluate what we have, what's worth keeping, and what he wants to do.
Game plan, style.
We have to, and the appointment has to come soon, so he's got a full off season to evaluate what we've got and,
start making decisions right away.
And
I think Jeremy said he wanted that decision made by November, if possible.
That sounds fair, because that's far enough away from the end of season, everybody else's season.
Yeah, because no coach is going to make any decisions until the MLS combines and stuff are done, when they've set their rosters.
And let's be honest, you know, people have asked about Jeremy's job. I think we're all pretty on the same page. Jeremy brought in the players that should have, could have made a difference, but this coaching decision is really going to make or break Jeremy, I think.
I think their destinies will be more intertwined than what Jeremy and Dale's destinies were.
I agree. I think the Dale story went on a little bit too long. I don't necessarily think that's on Jeremy. I think it's a whole front office thing that it wasn't his decision to ultimately make. But now, at this point in time, who's ever next, that's his sink or swim.
All right, Kevin Downs. Now, this one, you know, we kind of touched on it, but he's asking flat out, what players do you bring back and what players don't you bring back?
You see, Erica asked me this question at Cracker Barrel today over breakfast because I was in deep thought. She's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, the team. And she said, well, you know, and we got into this and she said, what players would you cut? And I said, at this point, it's easier for me to say what players would I bring back. Pace, Cochran, Parker, Bond, Herrera.
Musa.
Sorry, yes, Musa. So that's 6.
I agree with your 6.
I agree. I think I'll probably put in Fink because I still think he gets it done. I think a fresh start is going to make the difference. Now
I'd say Fink. Yeah.
Now, that being said, I also think that, like you said, it's, you know, with the environment, you know, we don't want the culture of losing, that, you know, he's on a one-year deal. No two-year deal. Just, you know, okay, you got to earn your spot.
I'd bring back Barkley, but Barkley's contract would be more of a pay-to-play.
Incentive-based. Yeah. It's got to be. Because as much as I
when
like
he's
Barks,
out there, when he's out there, I love it, but he just hasn't played enough.
Yeah, you know, and
you know, the whatever,
take that chance.
Whatever wages we're paying him can go to someone that plays 85% of the time.
Yeah, and it hurts. I mean, and again, I love the guy. I love his play. His play is fantastically suited to this team when he's healthy.
A guy like Shilo Shuma, I haven't seen enough of him. He's been injured in and out. When he's there, I've liked what I've seen. We'll have to work out another loan deal with MLS because he's making a lot of money. But
$83,000 a year.
But MLS is paying it right now. So,
I like what Jordan's done. He's made a place for himself. I think Jordan can probably a change is as good as a rest for Jordan. He can probably go to another team, get more playing time, and
probably.
And again, to me, a lot of it depends on that coach.
Yeah,
you know, what kind of style does that?
You know,
coach
there could
play?
There could be a coach that looks at someone like Jordan,
right,
and goes, "I can make you into a player. I can."
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of guys. Jacob Bouchou's another guy where the right system with the right coach might find his place.
You know, another
right
person
now he
I
just
keep
kind of
Tyler bad. David.
Yeah,
yes,
I think Tyler's earned a spot. And there's a lot of guys that I think
I don't have any
problems with them coming back as long as they fill their role.
But there's guys like Tyler I've not seen enough of to know how good they really are. I think Vince is good, but Vince hasn't played a lot.
Right.
You know,
I agree. Yeah.
I think for someone for you to know whether you want them to come back or not, they have to play 15 straight games where you can really evaluate them. And I don't know if I've seen enough from Vince to make that decision.
Well, and Vince is one of those guys, too, that this is his first year.
Yeah.
There's going to be some evolution. There's going to be some growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, whoever that coach is and whatever his system is, you know, he's going to look at some of these guys, and he may see something in a Mitch Lurie that we're not seeing. And he may put him in his perfect ideal spot, in his perfect ideal role, and change everything. So before we make decisions, I agree with the guys you identified as I think, yeah, they're definites. We need them back. But it's going to be more interesting to see who that coach is and what they can do with the pieces they have. And then who they want to go after.
And then that tells you, again, we have to have that guy in place early.
Yeah.
You can't get to Christmas and not have it be cemented. And you have to have that system in place and going.
Yep.
Look, I got my F license.
That's right.
Just let me go.
We got one from Andrew White. He wants us to discuss puppies.
Well, I've got a little Lhasa Apso Shih Tzu Poodle mix.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic. I also got a giant schnauzer who just leaves massive turds all over the house whenever he's sick. But, yeah, that's what I've got.
I've got a Bichon Frise and cute.
They all look good with the little Luligan scarves on Instagram.
Yeah,
though,
they
no?
did on I could, National
I,
Dog
I
Day.
I could not get Dakota to sit still, so that didn't happen here.
So as far as Bichons go, I say they're lovely, lovely pets. They're good. House training, notoriously bad house training. So my house smells of dog piss constantly.
And Brad piss.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the dog's pissing on the floor, damn right I'm going to piss on the floor. Fuck, why should I get up and go in the other room watching my favorite show? If the dog will sit there and do it right in front of me, I am too. Fuck it.
We have a it's a Eurasia. It looks like a Chow Shepherd mix, Dakota.
Yeah, it looks Chowish.
She's neurotic as hell, but she's a good dog. My daughter is already picking out the next dogs. And
Dakota's on borrowed time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, she is getting older. But
it's close to her expiration date.
Yeah, I think Ava's already planned out that, you know, it's going to be a husky.
I'm
going to
give her my dog.
That's no different to us talking about which players we're going to bring back.
Boy.
Who are you bringing in next season?
When Jordan Roberts dies, I'm going to get a nice young puppy.
Is Gabriel Obertan available?
Yeah.
Well, it's because he keeps pissing on the pitch.
All right, Malashek wants to know. He's got a list here. He wants to talk about the Petrangelo captaincy. Petrangelo captaincy.
I love it. I'll tell you why, right? When I was 18, 19, 20, I used to go watch the British Ice Hockey League And the goaltender for the Manchester Storm was Frank Petrangelo, his uncle.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
There you go.
I think Petro's the natural person to take the place. I don't think Tarasenko's to that point yet, but I think Petro's been here long enough. He knows what's going on, and hopefully he's not going to be a punk bitch that ships off to Boston like our last captain.
And my thoughts are I don't care about hockey.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
So much so that I didn't even know how to say Petrangelo's name.
Good job.
His next topic was Matheny out. Your thoughts?
No, absolutely not. Matheny's done a fine job. Bad injury list, and sometimes you just don't have a good year.
He's like Klinsmann. He gets the best of a bad bunch.
Yep, absolutely.
My thoughts are I don't give a shit about baseball, so I don't care. This one might draw some controversy. Guns N' Roses removing St. Louis from the official date list of their tour after first having it on.
Absolutely, positively horseshit.
It's some horseshit, right?
I'm incredibly angry. The last time I saw them, there was things being thrown in the air, and I was scrambling to get out of the parking lot. I would like to have seen them again. I had a chance to go to Kansas City with Hubert and see it. I didn't get to because of the move. I'm frustrated. I wanted to see it.
Bird, any thoughts on Guns N' Roses?
Oh, yeah, I do, but not about the tour thing. I don't give a shit about that. My thing about Guns N' Roses, right, is the song November Rain.
Yeah.
Right, it shows that the thing with Slash playing the guitar, you know, and he's just doing his solo and it goes on forever. Yeah, but the orchestra needs sheet music in front of him to play it. I don't know what's that about.
I'm not arguing.
My thoughts on Guns N' Roses, I'm in better shape than Axl right now.
That's not saying a lot.
I think I'm skinnier than Axl.
You have less plastic surgery.
And there was many a year where Axl had me. I had never filled leather jeans the way he does, but now I think I'd actually look better in the leather jeans.
But your
jeans.
Name isn't an anagram of oral sex.
Well, shit, I didn't even know that. Well, there you go. That's something new. There you go, Ryan. Maybe you knew it. I don't.
He probably did.
I didn't know that.
Ryan.
And then his next one, this is hard, so I'm going to throw it out there, but I'm going to throw out a caveat. He wants to know the greatest SNL cast ever. I'm just going to go with your favorite SNL cast member. Because that's pick out a few of your favorite cast members. Because I've got hits and misses from each cast. So
that's really a hard question. So
who are some of your favorite SNL cast members, Mitch?
I mean, see, man, that's really hard. I mean, Dana Carvey was fantastic.
Hate him.
Oh, really?
Dude, if you had to spend dinner with Dana Carvey,
I'd carve
his eyes out with a fork.
I would stab him repeatedly.
My God, he shows off more than a monkey.
What? You know, it'd probably be better for me to do least favorite, but Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
He's Will Ferrell. Yeah. I mean, just he's automatically funny.
Get off the shed.
Belushi. I mean, it begins and ends with Belushi. Belushi was perfect.
Jim, right?
Yes. Of course. You know, honestly, I wouldn't put Eddie Murphy up there because he was kind of a stand-up comedian doing his...
You know who I do want to go to dinner with more than anybody?
Me.
Norm MacDonald.
Absolutely.
I want to hear about him...
Having sex
with Yeah. Violating his neighbor's wife while he cuts the grass.
I think that, you know, I don't know. That's a really hard list.
Dennis Miller before he got crazy.
Yes. See, that's the thing. There's so many of those guys where it's like, I'd love to hang out with, but I wouldn't want to watch them, and vice versa. There's a lot of them I want to watch them, don't want to hang out with.
Yeah,
that's I don't know. That's a tough one.
Bird, any Saturday
no,
Night
not,
Live?
Not really. I didn't really grow up here watching it.
Any Monty Python favorites?
Oh, I really like Michael Palin.
Palin, yeah,
I really
Palin,
like Michael
good call.
Palin. But only
everybody says Cleese, but I think Palin's the way to go
because not because of Monty Python, but he wrote a. Did a bunch of travelogues afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. I do like Tina Fey. I would like to go to dinner with
Tina Fey. Tina Fey, definitely.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, that too. But it was also because, again, just like Dennis Miller, she was really good in that role.
I like the Weekend Update people. Norm MacDonald,
they do.
Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
Yep. You know, even the dude that's on The Late Show now.
Yeah, Seth Meyers.
Yeah, Seth Meyers. Yeah. You know, yeah. I would say that's usually probably that's my favorite part.
Instead of the cast I like best, I want to go out with the late night anchor.
Because I think a lot of it is, it's the same as the, you know, the Daily Show. It's that same kind of satire, cutting edge, that's,
quick
that's
hits.
The best part.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right.
Least favorite.
Oh, shit. See, here's the thing.
Tracy Morgan.
Oh, I love
oh,
Tracy
I love
Morgan.
Tracy Morgan.
But again, you don't want to spend an evening with him. Nope. You'll get pregnant. A guy like Adam Sandler, I used to like him, but now his movies are so god awful.
So
if I spend an evening with
pony,
if,
just like,
if I spend an evening with Adam Sandler, I'd end up telling him how awful he's his
and he would laugh as he wipes his ass with $100
That's
bills.
True. He's a billionaire.
I'm gonna go with Jimmy Fallon. He ruined every skit he was in.
Oh, he should be shot just for remaking Fever Pitch.
Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, that too. But every skit he was in, he giggled through.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of crazy ones throughout the years.
Don't get me wrong. The little, I'm talking about like repeated ones, not the little one-off Johnny Rocket kind of guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say Spade, but then I love Spade.
Again, perfect in those little shots, man.
I like Spade.
Yeah. All right. His other question was about the new viral video going around Facebook McChicken sandwich. And
no,
I'm not going to comment on the video.
Do not Google it. Just ignore it and move on.
And when I say do not Google it, it's sort of a wink and a nod. You should go Google that. But
it's not
do not blame me if you are offended by what you see.
It's not two girls, one cup.
No, it's one guy and a chicken sandwich. Pretty sure that's how you get salmonella. But anyway, that's enough about that. Thanks, Ryan. Jeff Aiken wants to know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Never made it.
And I want to know, are we talking the Tootsie Pop or are we talking the bubblegum one? What was that? Was that the Blow Pop?
That's a Blow Pop.
Okay, so are they different, do you think?
Oh, they're very
different. I know they taste different, but is the amount of licks different?
Yes, because the Blow Pop, the gum, it's a whole lot thinner in the middle part.
Ah, okay.
Because that's how I quit smoking, was that I would do Blow Pops because it was something to...
I like the Blow Pops. I wasn't a big fan of the Tootsie Pops.
I really wasn't either. The purple ones are good, though.
I don't think the chocolate and the candy
mix
go together, and it's kind of like what happened with you this weekend with the Swedish Fish Oreos.
That's a different story. I'm going to say the first bite was great.
Bird, did you get in on those?
No, you guys may as well be speaking Mandarin.
They're upstairs. I'll go get one.
I didn't have one because I like myself. I mean, you may wonder that, why I keep going to these soccer games, but...
Yeah, really, no.
All right, the next one is... Anthony Gilbert wanted to know, how awesome is Otis?
Otis is...
Oh, the whole family. Tremendous. Really love
him. Love the registers. Otis had a birthday recently. Irvin Herrera even showed up at his birthday party. And then Otis got to play the drums all game. That was what he wanted for his birthday, so his parents made a donation and made that happen.
And Otis was man of the match.
We didn't have a man of the match, so we gave it to Otis. We put a bottle of water in the bucket, and he chugged a bottle of water out of the man of the match bucket, and he took it home with him. So no complaints from me about Otis. I love Otis.
The thing is that every time people are talking about Otis like this, all I can think of is Animal House.
Otis, my man!
Every single time, that's all I can think. Yep. He loves us.
Otis loves us. I love Otis. So, yeah, you won't get any complaints from me about Otis.
No.
I think more kids at the game should be like Otis, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The Gardner kids,
be like
right
Otis.
There.
Be like Otis, be like Paisley.
Yep.
Gottman's.
Gottman's kids.
Gottman's kids.
Gardner's kids.
Yep.
All that
Fantastic.
That whole group that stands there on that rail in front of us.
Yep.
Love them all.
Except for the Ryan kids. Those two are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible hockey taste.
Speaking of which, next question is from Pat Ryan.
I know.
Wanted to know Charity Du Jour update. I have not done the math, but for those of you that don't know, Charity Du Jour, every week since about midway through the season, we've picked a charity, and we take donations at the tailgate. We take, if anybody buys a sticker, we throw that money in. And if somebody donates tickets to us and somebody needs a ticket, we ask for a donation for those. We're up probably close to $4,000 this year so far.
Saturday night was another successful
night. Saturday
night
was good. It was another $376 for Three Little Birds, One Wish. No, Three Little Birds for Life. And they do wishes for terminally ill patients.
Older ones.
Older kids, yeah. And just a member that is part of the group, and somebody recommended their charity, so that's what we did. This week coming up on Wednesday, we're doing the juvenile diabetes research. And that's for the Missouri and Illinois chapter. And the reason we're doing that is the Ryans, we'll mention Allie Ryan, who is at McKendree College right now.
Training for her college soccer career.
She's started, I think today was actually her first day of school.
It was.
She grew up with type 1 juvenile diabetes, and that was a group that helped their family learn about it, learn how to deal with it, helped them with some resources, helped them, you know, get information when they needed it. And they're working to find a cure, but also improving the daily lives of people with type 1 diabetes. So come by the tailgate merch table and throw a couple bucks in that bucket this week for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Council or whatever it is.
And we often have spare tickets floating about under the bucket. So if you need an extra ticket, come on by, grab a ticket, throw 10 bucks in the pot.
If a friend decides at the last minute to join you, just come on, we'll get them a ticket. We usually have extra, plenty of extra tickets.
At this rate, we'll have more.
There you go. Kyle Eagle wants to know about MLS info. We kind of mentioned it earlier. We don't really have any more breaking news. I would assume it's, you know, in the works and headed our way. But
we've told you what we know.
It's inevitable, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I think St. Louis is one of the cities they have definitely targeted for the next four. Yep. Now, that's not to say, you know, if San Antonio comes in and says, we want to spend $200 million, and St. Louis is saying, no, we're only going to spend $150 million, Don Garber will go with the $200 million. We know Don Garber.
Yeah, and it also depends on the stadium funding vote. Let's not kid ourselves.
I like to imagine Don Garber kind of like Scrooge McDuck, jumping into a vault of gold.
Philadelphia got a team because Don Garber waved the St. Louis carrot out there and made Philadelphia spend more money to get it.
Yep. That's what he does. He goes around pimping all these cities. You know,
so it's not inevitable, but I would say more than like, if you had to make me bet, $10 million, will we have an MLS team or won't we by 2025? I'd say yes, St. Louis is one of those teams.
I would say so.
Michael Decker wants to know, can't read.
Which pumpkin beer is the best?
Oh, yeah.
I hate pumpkin beers.
Matt, you have pumpkin beer?
No.
We are not fruit beer people. You like a lemon shandy.
I like a Radler or a shandy every once in a while. Those are
nice. I do like an Old Fallon Weech. I think that's all right.
There you go.
But that's his.
I hate anything having to do with pumpkin.
Yeah, I don't want any pumpkin beer.
I don't want pumpkin pie. I don't want pumpkin espresso. I don't like the pumpkin stouts.
I don't like the pumpkin fall beers.
I don't like pumpkin.
Yeah, I don't like pumpkin. I don't like pumpkin pie, period.
No, I do not like them, Sam. I am.
I agree. No, I agree. It's a
So there
it's
you
a
go, Michael
thing.
Decker. There are no good pumpkin beers, and if you think there is, you're wrong.
He also mentioned remembering Gene Wilder and Mr. Fuji.
Big props
to Mr. Fuji.
Well, to Gene Wilder, I'm Blazing Saddles. I mean, Young Frankenstein.
Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, Silver Streak, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But I always go Blazing Saddles
every single time. He was
the
perfect.
Cisco Kid.
Everyone on your Facebook feed today has been like, 2016 sucks, 2016
sucks.
Yes, it does. Because people we admire are now dying.
Yep.
That's the only
difference. We're that age now.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. It's come to that point that the people that we grew up with are now dying off.
Yeah, and that's why it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, someone 18 don't give a shit.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But when they get to our age, it'll be like, oh, God, Miley Cyrus has died. You know, but that's what it'll be.
Right.
So
yeah,
died
no,
long
I,
before
I,
then.
No, I agree. I agree. But well, I Gene mean, Wilder, most of the time I don't get caught up in much of the grief. I mean, Bowie was huge. Prince was huge. But Gene Wilder, I was like, aw. He's been sick for a long time. Yeah, he hasn't looked good the last couple times.
And
I've
really,
seen
once Gilda passed, you know, you just kind of waited for him to go join her. And
but
you know,
I might watch Blazing Saddles when I get home.
I might have to tonight. Because
that's the ultimate Gene Wilder for me.
And you know, one thing a friend said to me today: growing up in St. Louis, KPLR showing Silver Streak over and over and over again. I mean, I would watch it just for the train crash at the end every single time.
That and what was the one where they were in prison?
Stir Crazy.
I mean, yeah, those movies with him and Pryor were hilarious.
It's one of the best partnerships
I'm ever. Sure they don't hold up well.
No, they're not too bad,
not too
actually.
Bad? Okay.
It's the one thing that is crazy is that you watch them and you realize how much you got away with in 1980.
Oh, yeah.
That you can't say
oh,
now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, just
they could
Blazing
not make
Saddles.
Blazing Saddles
oh,
today.
God, no.
They could not.
Mongo alone.
Yeah. Just,
yeah. No, it's amazing. It still holds up.
You did Blazing Saddles, you'd get a 2-game fine and suspension from USL.
Props to Mr. Fuji passing along, the manager of Demolition and many other.
Yeah, he was. That's back when I watched wrestling.
I know.
I know.
I'm so surprised he was still alive.
Even I know wrestlers that old. So, all right. That's all the questions I have.
Well,
there's
a couple more that came up since then.
Somebody clock in since then. All right.
Matt Hashiter, off-season targets. We don't really have any targets on We have needs, but do we really have targets?
Jack McBean, Kerr.
Oh, wait. Jack McBean's going, shit, where is he going?
Coventry.
Yeah, Coventry. That's what I heard.
But, no, these are my targets.
No, I know, but he may be signed.
Kevin Kerr, and these are who I want.
We need another striker to go to either go with Irvin or
who was the
to
kid,
spell Irvin.
Who was the kid that was with Pittsburgh and then went to DC United? He was from England.
Not the kid that kicked the other guy in the back.
No, no.
He's available.
But he scored a shedload of goals last year.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
But
how about just that? People that can contribute.
Yeah, we'd like a guy that with a shedload of goals. I think we need a striker. I think, and then I think we need depth everywhere.
Here's the thing, though. I think we're going to need a striker anyway, because you've got to imagine people are going to come in for Irvin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to
I don't know MLS, but I would think NASL.
Yeah. Oh, Liga Mexico.
Liga MX, yeah. He's, you know.
But, I mean, a mid-table Belgian team would take a punt on him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, someone of that, you know, that caliber in Europe.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, we're always going to need more goal scorers, no matter what. So,
I'd rather have too many.
Yeah. Let's get Wando.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
Sorry, you want goal scorers?
Yeah.
I love Wando. Wando scores goals.
I love Wando if they put the extra W in his name.
Yeah.
That was just more or less a joke about him being called into another U.S. men's national team and the apoplectic reaction on American Outlaws Facebook page. Why Wando?
He scores goals.
Yeah,
scores goals for San Jose.
I know. I don't want to argue.
Anyway, Jason Petrillo asked favorite quiche recipe.
I don't like quiche.
I
like quiche.
Egg bacon. Quiche yeah. Lorraine.
You know what? Just give me anything that I don't have to cook.
I don't know. Maybe it. I haven't had it done right, but yeah. Every time I've had quiche, I have not enjoyed it.
No, you get a good quiche. It's definitely a damn good thing. Greg Havlax, what can the Luligans do better next year?
Oh, wait. I do have more
not
questions.
Not fight with each other as we're in a mid-season slump.
Yes. That's the one thing that I was going to say.
I do have a couple more questions, but yeah.
The infighting has gotten... And you know
it's
what? That happens.
Losing. It's
yeah,
about losing.
Yeah, I know. And we're all
people
guilty.
Are frustrated.
It is. And I'm glad that we keep it amongst ourselves and not out in the public, because I think that's the way to handle it.
We try to. But, I mean, yeah, on game nights, if you're in a must-win game and you're down 2-0 late in the game, there's going to be people getting pissed. People, you know.
Show their emotions different ways.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But, again, it's because we care.
Yep.
It's because we're bought in. We're
I am going to get incredibly pissed when they lose, because that's what it means.
I did. I found another card of questions here.
Oh, good job.
Mark Guthrie wants to know, are we showing these players too much love?
Yes, that's the discussion I was having about, you know, Fink, Dix, and Hardware, the guys that have been here for 2 years now, and we've not done nothing really with them.
But I think he's asking in the sense, are their egos inflated because we love them so much that they think they can do no wrong, and that even though they lost, we're still going to love them? Or, I mean, I don't know. You love your players. You love your team.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've often thought, us three especially, too close to these guys?
No, yeah. You know, I've thought that before, but I thought about it too, is that there's a couple of these players that I don't like.
It was just the way you said it that made me laugh.
Thanks.
I fucking hate that guy.
No, but I mean, there's some people that bought into what we do.
Yeah.
And there are some people that don't. And I understand it's not for everybody. But again, you're a professional. You have a job to do. Part of that job is interacting with the fans. Part of that in American soccer in a lower division is interacting with the supporters groups.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to show up to things and smile and shake hands and do your part and interact and sell the team, then, yeah, I have a problem with you. Because, again, I ain't getting shit for this. You're not getting shit for it. But we do everything we can to get more people out. If you can't spend 10, 15 minutes of your time to make somebody's day a little bit better, you can suck my balls.
I'm okay with your rant if they're not doing anything else either. If they say, look, I'm not going to come and go to your Hooters party.
No, I don't have any problem with that.
But I'm going to be over at Cardinal Glennon talking to sick kids. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And if they're a guy that, like, look, I score goals. I give you 1,000% on the field. Now I'm going home to my wife and kid. I got no problem with that either. Mm-hmm. But you got to do something, you know.
And especially when losing. You know, if you're not doing those extra things that we just mentioned, but you're one of the people that's laughing, walking off the field,
yeah,
Bye. Bye, Felicia.
But I also think we're honest about players. When a player isn't good, I think we call them out. I mean, we don't slag anybody. We don't read anybody the riot act.
You're a shill.
Thompson last game is a good example. None of us are happy with how he played.
I do think Brian Gaul became a scapegoat last year. I think we did expect too much from him.
I disagree.
I don't think Brian Gaul did himself any favors by how he carried himself and how he acted.
But I also think I expected too much from Oscar Gizecki because I saw that Borussia Dortmund shirt on.
We did. But the thing was is that after watching him play, you changed your expectations. I think the thing is that with Brian Gaul, you saw potential. You saw a guy that could do something and didn't. I
saw a guy who went out to the club the night before every game.
Yeah, exactly. That's the player you saw on the field was a guy that spent the night out before at the club.
No.
So I don't think
I also appreciate that these guys are doing a job. You know, it's not the be all end all for them. You know that.
No, they're not doing the same job Mario Balotelli. Well, they're doing the same job Mario Balotelli is, but they're not getting Mario Balotelli money to do this job.
And, you know, it's a passion of ours. And I'm still caught up about Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there has to be a disconnect there for a player. You know, it's just a job for them. And they do deserve the right to go home and decompress and...
Nobody's taking that away from them. But I think the thing is that, okay, so for example, they go to training today. How long are they at training?
2.5-3 hours, I guess.
And during that same time frame, Brad and I are at work. You know, that's our job.
I am with each other about how miserable we are about the game on Saturday.
That's true, too. but that's my point. You do a 9-to-5 job. You put in your 9 hours plus traffic or whatever else you have to deal with. They're playing soccer for 2.5 hours. And don't get me wrong. It's hard physical work. You have to be a peak performer. You have to watch what you eat. You have to do all these other things. But there's time to take care of your business and still be able to go shake hands.
But I also accept that you don't – when you play, you don't – if you lose, you can't win every game. So when you lose, I'm not going to get personal. I'm not going to call people out. I try and –
I guess my point about the couple guys that I saw laughing and joking after the game, again, if this is early in the season and it's a one-off, but this was a must-win game at the end of the season that may have very well punched your ticket out of the playoffs.
STL Today had a great picture in that article that they
posted. Oh, yeah, crouched on the knees.
Yes, where Sam is, you know, crouched on his knees, and I forget who's laying down holding his head.
I think it was Herrera.
I think it was. But you saw two guys that had just put everything into it.
Now, can I make you feel worse?
Sure.
That picture was from the Sacramento game.
Oh, fucking hell.
Because
that is the Post-Dispatch.
Post-Dispatch doesn't send a photographer to the games.
That's a valid point. But
yeah, no, the emotion was still there. Yeah.
The image is there. That's what you want from your players. You know, you gave it all out there. It's that warrior
mentality.
And
there were some guys that...
And there were.
That did that. And, I mean, everybody knows who the guys we're talking about that come through, and they say sorry to the fans as they're shaking their hands.
Barclays would be near tears.
Their heads are down. God, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, and those guys, I'm like, hey, man, it's a game. We're okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel for those guys. But anyway, Greg Havlick says this is what made me think, oh, yeah, I have another page of questions. Can St. Louis FC survive another losing season without the casual fans giving up?
We thought this time last year, we sat here and said, if they have another season like they did this year, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
And we've sold out the last three games. You know, we could have a third sellout in a row on Wednesday.
I don't get it. I really don't. There's no logic to it.
I mean, I'm glad. And I think the games are still fun. I think people come out and have a good time. I would say half of the crowd doesn't even care about the score. They're just there for a night out with the family.
Yeah.
You know,
or the boys or
it's an affordable trip to, you know, you get the deal where you get four tickets and four hot dogs and four sodas for $49 or whatever. And they're out to have a good time. And that's good. I think the people were hoping catch the fever, catch the passion, and become diehard fans, I don't think we're giving them a lot to hang their hat on.
But also, I've had people come up to me in the last three games and said, Matt, I'm not renewing next year.
I've heard several people say that.
And that's concerning.
And
hopefully it's just the depression of the moment. And hopefully when that time comes around, they'll start to get the itch again. But I've heard too many people say it.
You know what? People have the right to do that. I love this. I absolutely love it. And I'm renewing. But I also understand that
Hasn't been fun.
Yeah.
No, these games are not fun lately.
The past two games, I've checked out halfway through the second, where it's just I don't have the cycles to burn.
I mean, you kind of said it, Matt. I mean, I've been depressed the last 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean,
yesterday I was questioning whether or not I was going to go Wednesday night.
And today at work, I mean, I'm just like, I'm thinking about the podcast. I'm like, fuck it. Why do we put so much effort into this? You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about calling you guys and saying, just do the podcast without me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get the people that are saying it's not worth my coming out there and getting depressed again every weekend. I mean, I'm going to be there, of course.
You know what?
But
the Cubs still draw every year.
Yeah.
You know, and they.
But I don't want to be the Cubs.
I don't either.
I don't want to be that team. I want to be
this
a team.
Year, this year, I would.
I want to be the team that, you know, every year there's a chance.
I'm not. I don't expect us to win the league. I don't. I'd like three wins in a row.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much to ask for.
I like a few games with more than one goal.
Yeah, three wins in a row.
I'd like to go on an away trip and see a winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's never happened.
And let's do this. This is the final question from Claude, unless you've got any more, Mitch. This one was Claude Carricker. Is this team committed to winning USL, or are they too focused on MLS? I don't think it's MLS focused.
Here's the thing. It does concern me, though, if the front office, not the front office, if the owners are looking at MLS and that's where their money's going to go, are they going to put any extra investment into this when they know it may not exist in 4 or 5 years?
I don't think so. I mean, this goes along. Jason McAdams asked the follow-up question. I mean, we always talk about the Orlandos. We talk about the Minnesotas.
Those teams won. Well, what concerns me is that if the ownership group are going to go to MLS in some capacity, do we become a de facto MLS 2 team before we've got an MLS 1 team?
Yeah.
That's a good. But like
I said, there are.
Orlando
ran hard.
Do we become
going up to that line?
Do we become a de facto development team for a future MLS team?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're right. That's the counterpoint that Jason and you've just made.
Can we become a successful MLS team if we've never been a successful USL team?
That was exactly what I was going
to
ask.
I think we need to win here before we can even think about winning somewhere else.
And again, I'm
not talking about necessarily winning the playoffs or holding the cup. I mean,
I want to make the playoffs.
Successful team. You know, Sacramento is a successful team. They are going to go into MLS as a successful team. Minnesota has had some victories in Minnesota and in ASL. They're going in as a successful team. Orlando had won the USL Cup, or, you know.
This might be
the first time a team's come in and say, yeah, they really suck at USL, and they haven't done anything. I think we kind of have to put a marker down and be better before we can even think about being MLS.
So we have to be better anyway, regardless.
So along those lines, and it comes back to something we said earlier, is that there's a culture of losing.
We got to break it.
How far does that go? Does it go into the front office? You know, do they take these losing streaks seriously?
I know Jim Kavanaugh is not used to being a loser.
Yeah, he's not a loser.
I mean, he is a winner.
I know guys like he and Strunk aren't, but what about the rest of the people in the office? I know Jeremy's tore up about it. We know that.
Yeah. Well, and Gallagher people, I mean, they measure life by wins and losses. I know they want to keep the payroll coming in, but when they send these kids to tournaments, they want to brag about, yeah, we won the U13 in, you know, Belleville or wherever.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Is it maybe more, is it, oh, well, Gallagher wins. Who cares about the pro team?
Yeah.
I hope not.
I don't think so. But I think that's why, again, this coaching hire is so important. And I think it's so important to go outside of the Gallagher family.
Without a question.
Because I'm tired of the questions of, you know, oh, did they just bring in Sam Fink because he was a Gallagher kid? Or did they just bring in this guy? And I think they relied on that the first year heavily.
They went with known quantities.
Yeah.
But
we need to separate more from that era.
Well, and the thing is that you can't compete and do that.
Right.
You know, the league has proven that. It's no different than Major League Baseball.
We underestimated the level of the league the first year. Maybe we've done it again the second year.
I disagree. Bringing in Bond and Herrera.
There's still a part of me that absolutely agrees with you that we have the chess pieces.
I firmly believe it.
I do put it firmly at the door of the philosophy and the way these guys were playing. The way the guys were told to play. Sorry.
And again, I think the Dale decision was made too late.
Yeah.
I think so. I should have been after Tulsa.
That would have given us a few more games to get the new guys' system in.
I mean, I understand why they went with a caretaker. I mean, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, you had to do it at that point in time. But that was the thing is, because it was so late, you know, there's a chance that if you do it earlier, you could have brought somebody.
Well, I even think doing it earlier to give Tim more time to break up whatever funk was in that locker room.
Yeah, you know, get a couple road trips in, get a couple, you know, homestands in.
All right.
Mr. Fuji out for Harambee.
So, all right, we're doing Full Kit Wanker Wednesday. We're doing the Juvenile Diabetes, and we're doing food trucks for the Oklahoma City Energy game Wednesday night.
We are going to have fun.
We're going to have a good time. And we're going to win the game, goddammit.
It's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Even my dog thinks you're crazy.
And then we'll have another podcast before, but the very last home game will be Louisville. And we're going to do some big stuff with Pizzagate 2. We're going to make that our last big charity du jour fundraiser. And we're going to ask you all to contribute heavily for that one because we want to raise a lot of money for Food Bank of St. Louis. So that's all I got for this week.
That's more than we should have had.
I'm sad.
We have plenty to talk about.
I'm sad.
You know what, though? 2 more days, we get to all hang out again. We're just going to make it a party.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore this negativity. We're just going to have fun.
We're all going to be dressed like assholes. So that'll be fun. No, if you start feeling bad, you just look across the stands to some, you know, grown man in a full kit, and then you'll be like, oh, wait, I'm doing that too.
Yep. So exactly.
Don't just be a spectator. Join in.
I am.
Be an asshole.
I am legitimately excited to see what some people bring out.
Oh, there are going to be some bright. Well, there's a few guys, like I said, that are full kit wankers every game.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the other thing is, too, is that I'm going to say right now, the amount of Chelsea people that can probably pull this off.
Oh.
There's a lot of full kit wankers and Chelsea fans.
They already have the suit.
Yeah. So they probably have the track suit to go with it and stuff.
Yeah. They probably have a rubber panties underneath it so they can pleasure themselves and not spoil it.
They'll be taking
full kit wanker to a whole new level. All right. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Bert.
Yeah.
We're so sad.
No. You see, last year I was sad. This year I'm fuming.
Yeah.
I am. That's the difference.
There's more anger, yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Last year was disappointing.
Because you go back to the beginning of the season after I came back from the Indy 11 friendly. And I came back and I was rocking. I'm like, this is a good team. We're a good team. We're going to compete, blah, blah, blah.
I think we need to go pull some audio because I think early in the season, I think I remember you saying, this year we're going to do it. And I said, you said that last year. I think one of the early episodes from this season, I think we'll have to track that down. And we'll just leave that as a constant reminder of our fucking misery.
No, I didn't. And you know, I bought in. I was sold. I already bought playoff tickets. But you talked to Mike McHugh. You talked to Claude Carricker that were at that game.
Yeah.
And at halftime, the way we were playing, we were buzzing.
Yeah, you came back from that game, and I remember you telling me, Irvin's the real deal.
And then, you know, we had the Oklahoma City Energy game where the Orange County Blues game, the win in Sacramento.
After that Orange County Blues game, it all started to click and we all started to see it.
You know, we had that. Then we went to Sacramento and we won there and we came home. We played Swope and then we went to Tulsa and we won there. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
And then... And, you know, for all my wishing and hoping and my positivity at the beginning of the season, I've just been proved wrong and I hate it.
And again, as a
I'm just a hack. Don't listen to me.
As a Blues fan, I should be prepared for this. Yeah. You know, I really should, but I can't. It just
Blues made the playoffs, dude.
Yeah, I know. Again,
I don't expect to go out and run the board.
No, not at all.
But
give us a chance. Get us in there.
You know, there is no difference between our market and Richmond. Okay, and Richmond won 6 games in a row this year.
Yeah.
We've never come close to anything.
That was
like that.
So depressing this weekend, seeing on Instagram, seeing USL posting, and Richmond has made the playoffs, and so-and-so has made the playoffs, and so-and-so has made the playoffs, and knowing it is not coming for us.
You know, there's no difference between what we can do and what Richmond can do.
Evidently, there is.
You know, there is no difference between what Energy can do and what we can do. There should be with exactly the same... market.
No.
I would argue we're a better market than Richmond. No. Because Richmond's got DC United 100 miles up the road.
Yep.
Colorado Springs has got Dick's Sporting Goods Park 60 miles up the road. Oklahoma City Energy had a fucking NASL team on their doorstep and they're still doing well.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I go back. I'm fuming. Last year I was sad, this year I'm fuming.
Yeah, no, preaching to the choir. So for all those people out there, we expect at least we'll take your insurance cards to process the 90 minutes here of therapy that we've provided.
Yeah.
This group therapy session.
We need to get like a Billify sponsorship or something.
But you know.
Well, this is where.
But you can't listen to this and say that we just PR spin for the club, because that's a joke too, because. You know, we've just sat here for 90 minutes.
To be fair, anybody that said that is not paying attention.
Because, you know, we've just...
Oh, well. Hopefully, when we talk to you next week...
When's the schedule out for next year?
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we've got this game Wednesday, and there's a game on Monday night, Cincinnati, right?
Yep.
So,
hopefully, the next podcast we do, we'll have won two.
And we'll need 2 from 4.
and we'll have a little bit of hope left and built back up, and then we can all crash down.
That's Matt said. It's the hope.
It's the hope that kills it.
All right, let's end it with the hope that kills it.
Peace.
Here comes the axe, and here comes the